vu day. We're above. Visibility unlimited.
Kina, I've been thinking, man.
Dude, I always thought you said that flying and thinking don't mix.
No, man, that's skiing and thinking don't mix. Rule number four.
So what's rule number one?
All falls. Begin with the turn.
What's rule number two?
Kick and hurt in the air, man!
It's a good day.
Wait! So what's rule number three?
Painting a lot more this year. Always kind of had an interest in art. Not very good, but you know, we're getting better. It's fun, and it's relaxing, especially when you're up here waiting to go and see some big mountains.
Points North Helicopter Adventures. It's run by former professional hockey player Kevin Quinn.
We're located directly on the ocean. It makes our flight time to the peaks and areas that we ski literally 5 to 7 minutes out. On a fly day, those helicopters fire up and it's like electricity.
Yeah.
your finger on the map. Who cares where it lands? Cause we're all better off.
We get people from all over the planet that come to visit us here.
Cordova, Alaska. Wow.
Big game hunter, Ted Nugent fan, Dan Treadway.
First time making it up to the Chugach. Going to ski some of the peaks that I've seen all my heroes growing up skiing. The whole setting here has just been, it's been great. It's definitely amazing what the skiers can do up in Alaska, but for me, being up in a powerful machine, it's almost as much fun as going skiing. A huge effort that the pilots have to make to be able to give us a clean view of the line that we want to ski, and then to be able to drop us off on top of that line. Flew up on a nice blue sky day and saw that we'd received a bunch of new snow. Things looked fairly stable, just a bit of a warm up. Right when we thought that it might rip, it pulled out a couple turns behind me. Quite an experience. Just watching that snow ripping by your tips is definitely gets the heart racing. Managed to let it roll by and keep skiing and enjoy another safe day.
He's been voted one of ski industry's most eligible bachelors, Micah Black.
Coming to Alaska for me is very intense. It doesn't even really compare to anything in the lower 48. The mountains are so big. It also scares me, too. You know, when you ski up in these big mountains, I don't care what anybody says, it's scary up there.
Oh, yeah. And have my 15 minutes to do some dancing. Small cobwebs, super starless. Everybody's got a dream. It likes to be a harlot. Never had one until last year when the last week of the night was raised. I found my little phrase laying proud, fighting over space. Looking all around, the sound of the bass. I'm raised to Santa Claus. I'm not crossed, my mama still a belly boss. Cause I'm mine, the great pine with the motor cars. And the total law supplies the right stock. When he said exactly the same thing as she said. Real rap, don't be dead, don't be led astray. Coming unbeaten, don't forget to pray. Taking street in the gutter, I'm under the butter rhymes. On the better to bring out the good in the tough times.
I've had some of the best experiences of my life up here, but it's not all about heli skiing.
So many different things happening, brings everyone together and makes you feel like you're at kids' camp.
Dan Treadway's heroes, Eric Pahota and Trevor Peterson, made their mark by skiing a first descent on a peak they named Pontoon.
Big peak, about 4,000 vertical, 55 plus for almost 3,000 feet. Got its name by riding the pontoons on the outside of Chen Simmons aircraft all the way to the top of that thing. It's a big daddy. It's one of the largest peaks in the Chugach. Very nice. But
you don't want to let your mind wander, because if you miss a turn and you fall, you'll be sliding 60 miles an hour in a matter of like 5 seconds. You're gone. It's a big thrill to expose yourself like that, but it also feels really good to get off the thing.
Put points north on your agenda, because it'll impact your skiing and everything else in your life for the rest of your life. Unlike points north, Snowmass, Colorado has earned a reputation as the ultimate family mountain.
Hello?
Dude, it's Mancini. Where are you?
Just looking out the window.
It's killer out here. 15 inches. Blow.
nearly 9 miles down the road from Aspen, Snowmass is the largest of the four mountains here. There's terrain here for every family member. Even when the father of that family is two-time world free skiing champion, Chris Davenport. More than 3,000 acres of skiing and the most lift-served vertical in the U.S., yet it's still where you can only make one turn at a time.
When I travel all around the world, which I do every year, I cannot wait to come home because it's that good, it's that special. I mean, look behind me. Every day you can come out and it's a wild environment. It's big mountains, steep terrain. It's unbeatable.
Local Bridger Giles, only 4 years old. That's 1/8 as old as his pal, Chris Davenport. Great skiers, ski alike. When he tucks, Bridger's only 14 inches tall. But when he free skis, he's a giant. And someday, Bridger wants to grow up to be just like Chris. Freeheeler Max Mancini. Snowmass appeals to the kid in all of us, no matter what the kid likes to do. Michael Olenek.
You got your half pipe and your rails and kickers in the normal terrain park. The free skiers out there, they want to ski some sort of natural playground. So this year they opened up some new terrain and it's steep lines, nice pillow drops, and I like to think of it as sort of Mother Nature's terrain park. Snow safety director John Brennan really had a vision for letting the public ski some of this adventurous kind of terrain.
The genius is someone who invents his own occupation. John Brennan.
I hear a lot of folks in the Warren Miller Flick talking that they've got the best job going. Basically, I ski the steep terrain in the winter and I cut new trails in the steep terrain in the summer.
Snowmass didn't make new terrain this year. It's all been here for 10,000 years. He just waited until this year to open it up.
Hey,
Archer has to take time out from racing to leave early for preschool. Hopefully, won't ruin his ski career. Richard Guile was the king of the kindergarten set at the Jeep NASTAR Finals. NASTAR stands for National Standard Racing Standards. It's set by national pace setters like Doug Lewis and Darren Rawls. Every year, the winners from ski resorts all over America get together here for the national championships. There's no age limit. The youngest age group was under 5, and the oldest group had one racer who was 90 years old. They all take ski racing very seriously. Every age group has the same problem. There's never enough trees near the race course. NASTAR race director, Bill Madsen.
We've got over 1,100 racers competing all over the mountain today, 2,200 runs a day. It's utter chaos, but people are having a great time.
My name's Bridger, and
how old are you?
And I'm 4, and I'm so mad.
World Championship medalist Doug Lewis.
For the 1,100 people racing here from all over the country, this is their Kitzbühel. This is their Olympics. They're loving it. They're serious and they're having a lot of fun.
I ski since I was about 5 years old. So that's approximately, I would say, 75 years of skiing.
I'm Horst Langer. I'm 76. I'm getting slower every time I race, but I enjoy it.
I did my mom's race last year, and this year she came in second.
Are these competitors the winners in their region, or just the survivors? And this is the beauty of NASTAR racing at 90. You're feeling like you're 50, and you're passing gates going 30.
I'm Gordon Morseth. I'm 90 years old, and I think I just ran a pretty lousy race. But I'll go up and give it another try, I think.
Gordon's really proud of the ski boots he bought back in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was president. When you still ski at the age of 90, you've earned the right to more than just a free lift ticket. You've earned some special attention from four-time Olympian A.J. Kitt, and some TLC from Doug Lewis, and the latest in aerial speed technique from two-time Honenkamp downhill winner Darren Rawls. No matter how old you are, an old person is always 10 years older than you are. But trapped inside of most of these old bodies is a 14-year-old kid. And to the racers that stand on the podium for winning medals in the NASTAR Nationals, their achievement is no less to them than the racers who stand on Olympic podiums. They're the best there is. The birthplace of a lot of Olympic champions is Chamonix. Less than 50 miles from Geneva, Switzerland is Chamonix, France. And if you think you're a skier, this is the place you can really find out. That's because the more you ride here, the more humble you become. From the summit of the 15,000-foot high Mont Blanc to Argentière and Aiguille du Midi with its 10,000 vertical foot tram, Chamonix is where the snow and ice can be 1,000 feet deep. And you better listen to your guide. Here's guide Stefan Don. Hilary Nelson O'Neill has claimed first tracks in unmapped regions of China, Lebanon, Tibet, and Mongolia.
For me, it's great to be back in this valley. I used to live here for 5 years. My French is coming back to me, and seeing a lot of old friends, and you spend time in these mountains here, and you don't know how you could live anywhere but in the mountains. I feel like my whole basis of alpinism and big mountain skiing came from the time I spent here in Chamonix. It's an honor for me to ski with Fonfon. He knows where everything is in these mountains. And when you're not spending winter after winter here, you really need that input because everything changes here so fast. I miss these mountains like crazy. There's really nothing like the Chamonix Valley, not even anywhere else in the Alps. This place is original. There's nothing else like it.
This is my garden here. Chamonix Valley, it's like a game for me because we have many possibilities.
Snowbird's Jeremy Novus has come here to test his new skis, which are made just a few miles away from the steeps of Chamonix.
Come over to Cham, go to the factory, pick up my new boards, and I punch in for work.
And this is Jeremy's office.
You come to Chamonix and you get the feeling in your stomach and in your heart that skiing and ski mountaineering was born here. I mean, the mountains are huge. People are in the valley rock climbing, mountain biking, and then up in the mountains skiing. It's such a highly recreational area. I love coming back.
I've been in ski park zone for about 15 years, and there's no better place in the world to find out what your skis can do. Chamonix has everything you can find on any mountain anywhere. It's like a torture test for skis.
We can find many places where nobody wants to go because it's really exposure, and we have to know exactly where we go. Where the crevasses are, it's a pressure all the time. The seracs, sometimes it's green, sometimes it's blue, and everything changing. It's like a dream when you ski on a big glacier like that.
It's a beautiful place to be, but it's almost like you're entering into the jaws of some scary animal because you've got the stuff above you and then you've got stuff below you that you can't see.
You're always trying to make a line up through all these seracs and crevasses, and I tell you, these guides have been here for years. It's a skill, and it's like being a little kid. It's like an adventure. You're always trying to put the maze together. Sometimes you get slapped, sometimes you're successful. I think it's part of what happens when you're playing in the mountains.
You won't find a snow report in your hotel lobby for the conditions on this 3,000 vertical foot run that starts out at 60 degrees before it flattens out partway down to 55 degrees.
I went in on the rope and it was steep, and it was the first time I've been on something that steep this winter, so it got my blood pumping. And at that point it was still on like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I had about 6 cups of coffee, so I was a little anxious, to say the least.
Here, you absolutely have to ski with all of the right alpine equipment. Avalanche beacons, probes, shovels, peanut butter sandwiches, and hope you never have to use any of them.
I was doing a lot of poking down below me just to make sure that my next turn would actually land on snow and not on black ice or rocks or anything.
I know this place, it's steep on the top, and I'm listening something with in the radio with the snow condition and everything, so I was a little bit a little bit nervous.
Side slipping, I'm like, alright, just do it. I got down maybe a third of the way and the slope turned and the degree lessened a little bit, and then all of a sudden I was able to actually link a few turns and enjoy myself, and really exciting to get back on steep stuff and scare myself a little bit, which is pretty easy to do in Chamonix.
Well, after Hillary skied Col de Cristo, Fanfan and I skied face north to Col de Court.
The top was like a knife edge, so we are really impressed about the place where we are.
come from a race background, so yeah, technically I know how to do anything on skis, but it's a lot different when you get on a 55-degree pitch and you really see how you react. Doesn't matter how good a skier you are. If you're not comfortable, all of a sudden your knees are shaking and you can't stop until the bottom. Hard to survive balls like that. It's almost intimidating. What he's comfortable with and what I'm comfortable with are two different things. I think Fon Fon's a couple steps ahead of me. I don't think it's in human nature to be comfortable sitting on a 55-degree pitch with, you know, 3,000 feet below you. But that's the thrill, and that's what keeps you coming back, keeps you focused.
Chamonix is no place for the careless. But if you treat the mountains here with respect, they'll make a lasting impact on your life. It's a very long flight from France to Kamloops, British Columbia. That's followed by a 2.5-hour drive to Mike Wigley's helicopter operation in Blue River. As we drove, Bob Rankin told me that Mike started having a real impact on skiing in 1969. Mike's vision only attracted a grand total of 13 customers.
It looks like Bob's going to make it on time for work today.
And you'd be on time, too, if your job was to ride Mike Wigley's Blue River Powder with almost 1,000 snow-covered peaks to choose from. After 35 years, Mike's got so many customers that he needs 30 guides for the many people who ride here every winter. And if you want to be a professional snowboarder like Natasha Zurich or Olympic gold medalist Kelly Clark, you better keep your passport ready.
Places I've been this year. Start with the promo tour. Did London, Zurich, Milan, back to Vermont, drove to Seattle, flew to Sauce Bay, drove to Mammoth, moved into my house, stayed there for 2 weeks.
Some of the places I've been to so far this year are Helsinki, Warsaw, New Zealand.
Then I went home for Christmas.
Aspen, Driftwood, Big Bear.
Then I went somewhere. Maybe I went back to Mammoth.
Stockholm, Oslo, Warsaw.
But there's something else in there too.
Salt Lake,
Sauce Bay,
European Open,
Japan,
Colorado,
North Star,
Helsinki,
US Open.
For a photo shoot,
now I'm here, I think.
Blue River is the place to be with veteran Mike Wigley guide Bob Rankin, laying down lines on 10,000 square miles of powder snow.
Think about the love inside the strength of heart. Think about the hero saving life in the dark. Climbing higher through the fire, time was running out. Never knowing you were going to be coming down alive. But you still came back for me.
Get the gals here spinning some nice tricks, get them out of the train park and show them Mike's big train park. We have a blast. I'm old enough to be their father, but kind of in spirit, I feel young enough to be their brother. So we'd have a lot of fun. Wild women and wiggies on the wedges.
Think about the chance I never had to see. Thank you for giving up your life that day. Never fearing, only hearing voices calling out. Let it all go, the life that you know, just to bring this down alive. And you still came back for me.
When Kelly heard that the name of our film was Impact, she threw a shoulder roll, a head slap, goggle toss, hat ejection, and she sticks it.
Warren always says, if you don't come here this year,
you'll be 1 year older when you do.
So I just figure I'll be here every year. Nature's Viagra.
The simple word freedom describes the most sought-after way of life in the world. In Alberta, there's room to be free and to live your life in whatever way you choose. Within a 30-mile radius, there's 29 different lifts and gondolas. They all share the same backdrop of the Canadian Rockies. Sunshine Village and Lake Louise in Banff are just 80 miles from Calgary, site of the 1988 Winter Olympics. Marmot Basin in Jasper is a short drive away from Banff, up one of the most scenic highways in all of Canada. If you want to get to know a ski resort, get to know some locals and follow them. Just don't ask them to talk.
Take on take one. I'm Eric Olofsson. I'm 20 years old. I live in Canmore, Alberta, Canada.
I'm Chris Rubens, 19 years old. Out of Canmore, Alberta.
Colin Paskus, take four.
Take five.
Take six.
Just keep it rolling.
We didn't really discuss how the shot was going to go.
I'm Kevin Yantos. I'm the same. Raised in Alberta here. Been skiing here for a long time.
You guys say that again?
Roll nine.
The name is Andrew Hardingham. The age is 19 plus 5.
Yeah, I can talk.
The area is Banff, Alberta, Canada, baby.
Visitors call Lake Louise the most scenic resort in North America. Skiing's great too. Marmot Basin's got wide open bowls and steep chutes that tumble down to tree-lined groomers over a 3,000 vertical foot drop.
The biggest perks to this whole growing up in Banff is the second you open your eyes at age 15, 16, whenever you start to realize that you're living in the biggest playground on earth. You know, some, you know, urban kids, they got their jungle gyms, and I got my Cascade Mountain. I have never been bored here a day in my life. The day, the week, the month I get overly bored, maybe I'll move to Bermuda and get a super rad tan. But until then, I'm gonna stay pale.
Skiing for me is pretty much all about the freedom of being able to do whatever you want to do. Skiing on camera, on the other hand, is a little bit different. And sometimes you get into situations that you might not be quite comfortable, and that's the challenge as a skier, to overcome those fears. And you see it on the movie later, and it's worth all that hard work that you did to do that.
Alberta's mountains straddle the Continental Divide, so no matter which way you look, you can see more and more mountains. Everything's available at a 30% discount when you take into consideration the Canadian peso. A day's drive south of Calgary and just north of Yellowstone National Park in Montana is Big Sky's Lone Peak, where I always wonder, when the snow melts, where does the white go?
Hello? I just drove up to Montana. I was going to see if I could get a few more runs in before the season ends.
Chris Anthony's been in our movies for the last 16 years and skied in more foreign countries than most U.S. ski team members.
I'm going to meet up with Cody Townsend and Hugo Harrison up at Big Sky. And then we're going to hook up with a guide and he's going to take us into the backcountry. So don't worry if I don't answer any phone calls. I'll talk to you soon.
It's the middle of May in the middle of Montana.
An amazing place to journey into because it's almost a step back in time.
We knew a lot about Chris, but we never asked him if he could ride a horse.
Montana is one of those places that you dream about. Wide valleys, green meadows, light-covered peaks, and big skies.
Chris has spent most of his life riding on a pair of skis, and he finally admitted the obvious. If at first you don't succeed, failure may be your thing.
It's a great pleasure, I think, to get back to the roots of transportation.
I'm walking backwards and down this to the grave, waiting for the lightning. Don't believe it, strike the
tempest. We have some light coming out.
I cannot believe how much it's snowed up there.
No way, go skiing, eh? A lot different than my old ski racing days.
For snow riders that pursue their own endless winter, it's times like this that it helps to remember that there's always been times like this.
Okay. Hope nobody has a cholesterol problem.
That looks good.
Where's Montana?
Montana, south of Hale.
Soul of skiing comes so much with the adventure. Each step that you take, each mountain that you climb, the path that it takes to get there is really what it's all about.
So what do you think of the condition, man?
I think we should get up fairly early and be able to...
Montana backcountry legend and guide, Lonnie Ball.
There's one we've been looking at right here. So I just think we got to get going early. And
early? How early?
Early for Lonnie is climbing into your ski boots at O'Dark 30.
You know what I like doing? Long arcing turns on chalky snow.
That's what skiing is all about. I think the moment you finish your turn and engage the other one, that's what I like the most.
Yeah, that's snapping.
I actually prefer just to go straight.
Cody Townsend. Harrison.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I'm in May and we're still skiing some good snow.
So I heard the northern aspects on Fraser Lake just above there. A lot of good stuff.
I bet you have heard that.
Chris Anthony.
Color of Polar.
sketchy crux in the middle with a little overhanging rock and a little bit of ice, but definitely fast.
No matter how many turns they make, Cody, Hugo, and Chris have to climb back up each time to make fresh tracks. There are many ways to measure success. The Montana way is by the shot.
Sometimes I don't know what's more thrilling, the actual journey to get there or the descent down the mountain. But I tell you what, after both of them, you got one heck of a smile on your face.
My first love was a wicked twisted road. Hit the million mile mark at 17 years old.
I have to say, I really love it here. People are just naturally friendly. But most of all, it's the snow. It's endless, all that fluff. And then when I finally get a day off, all the kids want to do is hit the terrain park. I tell you, it's a great place to live, but it's an even better place to plow.
Sat up in my tower while the whole world passed me by. My first love was a castle in the sky.
Steamboat's home to a lot of people who quit their jobs in the city, and they're raising their families in a town that's produced more Olympic ski team members than any other town in America. This is the 92nd year of winter fun in Steamboat, and a lot's changed. An awesome terrain park's been built with the longest super pipe in North America called Mavericks. They named it Mavericks after a legendary surfing spot just south of San Francisco. It has waves that are sometimes almost 50 feet high.
We just love winter sports. We wanted to feel it. Give this guy an opportunity to be able to ski and snowboard or whatever he wanted. This is the best place in the world to do it. So.
Steamboat's a ski town like no other. It breeds a fierce loyalty among the locals who will tell anyone, this is my Steamboat.
The Ute Indians who lived here had this curse that they called the Curse of the Yampa Valley, and said that any man or woman who entered the valley was forever destined to return.
Olympic silver medalist Travis Mayer.
I initially came here to train and go to high school, but I think it's kind of the uniqueness of the Yampa Valley that's kept me here. So 250 beautiful days of sunshine every year, a ton of champagne powder. I think it's kind of this quiver of activities that keeps people around.
In Steamboat, there's a fine line between good, clean fun and total disaster. The trouble is, the fine line is sometimes buried under 30 feet of snow. Mancini told me that if you can afford to go to college, there's no need to go.
From the moment I wake to the moment I sleep, I'll be there by your side. Just you try and stop me. I'll be waiting in line just to see if you can.
Four-time national champion Chris Puckett was on the U.S. Olympic team in 1992. And he told me that work is the price you have to pay for money. Scott Bradley lives and skis here for one reason. It's called champagne powder.
Shit.
but you never even see me, do you?
Running a camera while skiing in this deep powder snow is done by Chris Patterson, who skis as well as Dan Gilchrist, who seems to be doing just fine without his snorkel. Search for Steamboat's Fine Line, but be careful, because maybe that curse of the Ute Indians is true. Once you visit Steamboat, you can't ever leave. Things have had a big impact on me over the years. For example, Sidnick couldn't jump very far, but he could sure go fast. Getting off of the chairlift in Southern California changed a lot of lives. Then, there was Magnetic Man. Most impact of anything I've ever seen. Now you've seen all of impact partway through.
Паса моите гости тази вечер. Уважаеми зрители, за мен е удоволствие да ви представя един много смели хора, екстремните скиори Уенди Фишер, Кина Пикет и Хана Хардуе!
On the chairlift, we told Wendy Fisher, Tina Pickett, and Hannah Hardaway that we'd get them on The Tonight Show. We didn't tell them that we meant The Tonight Show in Bulgaria. We all went to Bulgaria with Vail ski instructor and former Bulgarian national ski team member, Kalina Nikolova Simeonova. They had official government guides that followed them everywhere. But this is where Kalina grew up, and she easily ditched them before they got to Bansko. Bansko isn't a playground for European royalty yet. If you want to be a star on late-night television, Bulgaria is where to make your mark. Bansko's where the people from Sofia come to get out of the smog so they can inhale that clean, pure mountain air.
Kalina's family has just been incredible. They just radiate energy, and we've been really lucky to get to hang out. You know, we have these long, great talks, and
we drink schnapps.
We have a bit of a crush on her father. They've gone out of their way to make sure that we've had lots of experience experiencing their culture and their food. And you can't beat having someone take you around who is from here and getting her stories of how she grew up on the ski area and how things have changed. And you get all the tidbits. I think you miss that a lot in traveling if you're just on your own and you don't really get the experience of how people live their life here. And I'm glad we're able to have that.
Dansko's in the Piran Mountains of southwest Bulgaria, the two resorts of Chilinvalag and Suligarnica. Both have mountains over 9,000 feet high.
Много е приятно на хората в България да срещнат, като в България нямаме толкова много бабуни, колкото има в Америка, и бабуните не са толкова популярни. И Хана, идвайки от Олимпийските игри в 2002 година, е нещо като най-големия идол тук в България, защото има много деца и млади хора, които се опитват да карат бабуни, и да се запознаят с Хана е голямо привилегия за тях. Кина е страхотен, Кина е отворен за абсолютно всякакви преживявания, опитва ракията, опитва абсолютно всякаква храна и въобще е отворен за всякакви приключения с българите и много е контактен и винаги обича да се сприятелява с нови приятели. Уенди в България, много е впечатляващо да видя Уенди колко много може да яде. И за мен е малко като състезание, защото аз също много обичам българската храна. Бих искала да споделя абсолютно всички. Всички са много щастливи да се запознаят с нея. Познават, че Уенди е най-добрата жена в спортове. И
when Wendy Fisher skis, do most of the talking for her. Wendy was recruited right out of high school for the U.S. Olympic ski team. Then, after years of racing, she got burned out and went to live in Crested Butte, Colorado. And in 2001 and 2, she was ranked the best female skier in America. Kena Pickett's from Wilson, Wyoming, and spends most of his winters riding in nearby Jackson Hole.
Когато се бръснеш в огледало и се гледаш и си ли казваш, Кина, ти си абсолютно откачен, ти си едно лудо попене. Тана е печелила 53 състезания на бабуни, 5 пъти шампионка за девойки, участвала е на Олимпиадата в Солт Лейк Сити през 2002 година.
Hannah Hardaway is from Park City, Utah, and she's won 53 mogul contests so far in her career.
Много смели американци, като вече са приятели на България. Хана, Кина и Уенди.
If Bulgaria's good skiing reduced to the basics, and skiing at its most refined, is in Deer Valley, Utah, where we met skiing ambassador Heidi Volker.
The state of Utah is a special spot, as storms come across the desert can get up to 2-3 feet, and that's a pretty average storm for us. And the next day it can be bright blue sunshine, and you're just out skiing waist-deep powder and just having a great day.
Heidi was a member of the U.S. ski team for 12 years, from 1985 to 97. She finished in the top 15 in World Cup competitions 13 different times.
You know, the sport of skiing has really evolved, bringing women's skiing up a notch. They're really coming out on their own and, you know, upping the ante a little bit.
Listening to Heidi gave me an idea. If I put together a team of beautiful women and sent them to Deer Valley to test Heidi's claim and to put Deer Valley's legendary hospitality to the test. For avalanche control, I need a demolition expert. It would help. She liked her work. Say hello to Ingrid Baxman. I'll need a mechanic, someone who can keep snowcats and helicopters running. Someone who isn't afraid to get her hands dirty. Someone like Jen Burke. Any undercover operation needs muscle. Someone who can take charge in a crisis. Someone like 24 Hours of Aspen champion, Charlotte Motes. So I took them away from their jobs. Hello, angels. This is Warren. Your mission this week is to learn the truth about heli skiing in the Wasatch. Berg was first in the U.S. Nationals in snowbird and third in the World Free Skiing Championships in Valdez, Alaska in 1999. Dartmouth graduate, Charlotte Motes. Ingrid Backstrom, ranked number one in North America and number two in the world, according to the International Free Skiing Association. And this is why. If you ever have a chance to go skiing with any of these ladies, take my advice. Don't try and keep up with them. Just be happy if they even wait for you at the bottom.
The Wasatch is an amazing mountain range. They don't get dustings of snow, they get just dumpage of snow. And for us to time it and to get dumped on every other night, it's just killer here. What can I say? Can we stay another 10 days?
No, angels. You rest up. We'll have another assignment for you later. I'd already been a filmmaker for 13 years when Vail opened back in 1962. It was a time when fashion was very important. Today's skiers, though, dress as if they're going to work at a construction site. Some people say Vail's changed. Well, I think the only thing that's changed is the clothes the people wear. People who get to wear this blue uniform have one of the best jobs in skiing. They're ski and snowboard instructors at America's biggest winter resort. Watch closely and you can see that there's very little difference between the old school technique and the new school. Skiers still use rotation and unweighting to initiate the turn more easily. Today, skiers are linking 360s with 180s while they're 30 feet in the air. When the Vail opened, you're already going switch uphill. I've been filming ski instructors since 1950. Back in those days, my skis were long and my pants were baggy. Today, my skis are short and my face is baggy.
Oh, ski instructor.
Here's former World Powder 8 champion Nina Opfis from Sweden.
Working as a ski instructor is unbeatable. I think it's the best world. I wouldn't trade it for another. Sometimes I just have to tell myself that I'm working. I keep forgetting that this is my work and I'm actually getting paid for it.
Some ski school classes were much larger in 1962, but today, there's a lot more instructors everywhere, and Vail has almost 1,000 of them to teach both skiing and riding.
Spin, round through heels.
What you can now learn in a day or two used to take a week or two on those long, stiff, 7 foot 6 inch skis.
To turn, you simply put the weight on the outside ski, and they turn.
Steve McGill from Australia.
One of the other majorly good things these days is that everybody is sharing the parks, whether it be skiers or snowboarders. Lots of good vibe. And hey, we're all getting along, cohabitat of the park, as they say. Let's have some fun and go big.
I had a ski coach, but he always said, you know, if you're going to go for it, then go all the way.
As long as you're okay.
But you can't come up short on these things. Well, it's going to hurt.
Sarah Will was injured in a ski accident in 1988.
My clients are looking for something a little bit different out there. You know, obviously we have adaptive equipment, and we get a lot of stares, but I think it's really nice if people stare at us for our ability and not our disability.
So far in Olympic and world competitions, Sarah has won more gold and silver medals than the entire men and women's alpine teams in the last four Winter Olympics.
There's so much territory to cover. I mean, I can take my clients from a beginner slope to an intermediate, right on into the half pipe and the jumps, and they can experience every part of the mountain that everyone else is. And you know, it's fun when the more you learn, the more people you get to ski with, and it's nice to be able to ski past them sometimes.
Every year I've skied with Sarah at Vail, she's wearing a great big smile. And every year she has an even bigger impact on my life.
Him that jump is always sketchy. Gets the adrenaline going.
How about your life? If you let it, memory can become your drug of choice. My first memory of filming in Europe was back in 1953 when I was wandering the back roads of Davos, Switzerland. I was looking for a cheap Motel 6, only to discover that Motel 6 wouldn't be invented for another 10 years. In the 80s, skiers and snowboarders wouldn't even be seen together. They took totally different routes down the mountains. Back then, the only thing they had in common were the bright headbands and neon that they wore. Big mountain skier Jessica Sobolowski, veteran snowboarder Brian Savard, and new school skier Mark Abma.
We all kind of come from different walks of life, but obviously we have the same passion, which is the stuff right here that we're looking at. I kind of imagine one mountain in the town and Here we have seven beautiful mountains all over the place.
Before Davos became one of the world's first destination ski resorts, Davos was a famous health center. Today, Davos has 50 different ski lifts that can take you to the summit of seven different mountains. Mountain guide Dan Caruso.
Well, the thing about skiing and snowboarding around here, there's no animosity because most of the people are actually out on the piece carving with each other. As far as backcountry riding goes, I'm happy to have anybody in Davos that'll actually go out and ride powder with me. So if they're skiing or snowboarding or even monoboarding, I'd probably take them along. I can let them take the scary lines and I take the mellow ones. Last night you were dancing, came dancing to my door. Last night you little angel, came pumping on the floor. She said, come baby, got a license for love.
It's unreal the stuff that you can get to, you know, in a 15-30 minute hike. You can be on top of the world pretty much, and we're just really taking advantage of everything it has to offer.
Jessica makes men want to become skiers because where she leads, they want to follow.
Over the past years, you know, there's been such a big thing with snowboarding and skiing, but bottom line is we all just want to find good lines and good powder, and we're all just out here having fun.
Brian Savard. After 25 years, skiers and snowboarders are finally reading from the same set of directions.
When I started riding, there wasn't a lot of snowboarders that had big mountain experience, so I knew the way to get it was to go out with skiers and spend a bunch of time with those guys and learning from them and their attitude in the mountains, and then, you know, taking what I learned from them and adapting it to snowboarding, and the two came together beautifully.
Mark Abma.
I need a script.
If you think you've got powder snow skiing figured out, now try it backwards. I walk the road that you made, 1,000 miles with you. I dried your tears of pain a million times for you. I'd sell my soul for money to burn.
So for a while there, skiing and snowboarding were on different pages. And the last couple of years, skiers and snowboarders have been hitting the same jumps, the same rails, riding the same pipe, and now we're all riding the same lines. We're all looking at the same areas on the mountains. And I think it's pretty cool how we've all come back together and we can all have a good time.
Today, it doesn't matter what kind of a board you have or which way the tip's going, because in Davos, It's all about the ride. About 700 million years ago, give or take a week or two, California's Sierra Nevadas were thrust up in such a violent explosion, you can't even imagine it. Their western slopes have an occasional long canyon that funnels up the storms from the Pacific, where it's converted into as much as 60 feet of snow a year. And this is where I've managed to ski every winter since 1949, but until 1957, the only way to get to the top of Mammoth was by climbing. Getting up over the cornice wasn't easy, but once you got there, you could become world famous as Ron Funk did in my 1959 movie. Dave McCoy, a snow surveyor for the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, is a man that's as big as Mammoth. He's watched his parking lot grow after the first chairlift permit was offered and everyone else turned it down because they said Mammoth gets too much snow. All of the new school skiers that I see coming down and riding rails, I really admire their capabilities.
And some of these kids you see here from South Africa, Australia, France, they're here for real,
good
for their life, yeah. And a lot of our employees came up here and skied a day and never went home, and their parents told them they never amount to anything, and they're running this organization today. I've been here 70 years working on them. I'm right here, yeah.
I can remember many years ago, I think you kept your sign shop really busy painting signs that said, no jumping here.
Well, they took it away and we built huge bumps and kids fly in the air over the darn chairlifts.
Cameras in action, thoughts to ideas designed to manufacturing. F. Still Travolta, I'm still Samuel Jackson. Blasting live on stage is where it happens. Step to the zone, spotlight on the sights on, all eyes on. Turn the tables and the mics on. Fans slapping rock and they scream out loud. This time I give it back and applaud the crowd. That's it. Display a new sound. We on live on stage. That's it. Display a new sound. Check it out, check it out.
You know we break barriers, redefine the code. So determined like John Walsh, America's most evidence. Say my name out of self-defense. Catch me on stage with B-Real off two blunts bent. You almost famous. We got goofies that call themselves Band-Aids to keep their feelings painless. Nothing to lose, got only shit to gain this year. Out of control, cause for 6 years. We'll flow for my peeps and peers. You know we taking live on stage to new levels this year. Not here to chase fans, I'm here to rock for people who feel my band. Connect dots across the land. Yo,
that's an entirely display of new sound.
Live on stage. Yo, live on stage.
That's an entirely display of new sound.
You're rocking.
This is what it is when
live on stage.
Their lessons not taught, they kids will still learn. Your choice that's not hot, but caps will still burn.
Siendo la extra, les contaba un chiste por 500, tomaba de la espalda.
Last Christmas, when a lot of you folks were standing in a lift line during the busiest week of the year, Glenn Plake was hanging onto a rope tow in Acapulco, Mexico. Here's Plake in Acapulco at Gordon Rathman's Ski Paradise.
It's really a dream come true for Gordon. Wanted to make a place where you can go skiing in the winter. It's 4 days before Christmas, and we are doing some skiing, but this water is not frozen.
Well, when I first came to Acapulco, 17 years ago, I started putting things together and said, how many people would like to come and ski 80-degree water in the middle of winter? The west coast of Mexico, including Acapulco, has the best climate in the world. It changes about 4 degrees from summer to winter. And when you come here, it's a week where you're with similar people, and the group just kind of bonds together. By the end of the week, you've got 10 new best friends.
Yeah, we call it rooking.
Whenever you have the best skiers in the world, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty inspiring to see the way they ski.
Andy Mapples from Lancashire, England, has 160 professional victories, including the World Slalom Championship 6 times, U.S. Masters Champion 13 times. Jamie Beauchesne won the U.S. Open Championship 3 times, and he's the current Masters Champion. Marcus Brown's from Chico, California, and he learned to water ski in an irrigation ditch while being pulled behind his dad's pickup truck.
We were having a nice vacation down here until this guy named Glenn Plake showed up. When you're out there, you're going from 30 to 60 miles an hour in about a second and a half. So the only way to do it is if we picture what we're going to do in our heads before we set foot on the water. There's no way we can endure the forces on our body and the accelerations that we experience if we have to think about it. Jamie Beauchesne carved some of the sickest turns I've ever seen on snow, and he has an amazing ability to bring that to the water.
I equate Andy Mapple to the Michael Jordan of water skiing. Just when you think that, hey, this guy's getting old and he's going to be out, he just comes back and wins another event or breaks another world record. You know, he's constantly pushing the envelope.
It's been said that he owns every record in the slalom skiing book and has been knighted by the Queen. If you want to know how it feels to slalom ski like these pros, stick your head out of a car window at 70 miles an hour. If your cheeks don't flap, you're not going fast enough.
This is the equivalent of Mike Wigley's heli skiing in the world of snow. And if you don't want to water ski all day, the beach is that way, a quarter of a mile. Not to mention, there's this place called Acapulco that's been a pretty hot, like, wintertime vacation spot for some time now. I'm a snow skier, and I'm a water skier. I'm not a wakeboarder. I'm not a snowboarder either.
When your ability on a board matches your passion for riding, it's time to get your swerve on.
Come on, get down, it's the hall.
right. I got peace tattooed on my thigh. Wow. With the fool's soul who's got my back. Wanna write that a piece of my mind. What you doing is suicide. I know right now you amplified. That part you can't think proper. I'ma do something that's gonna shock ya. Take you to another level.
I want you to know that I know how you feel.
And it's alright, alright, I'm okay.
Farther away from anywhere in the world than by going to Wrangell St. Elias National Park in Alaska. Ben Dolenz, known as Little Elvis.
So humbling to see mountains this big that you're in awe. Yeah, it's so big.
Peaks that look like they're part of the Alps, and other parts that could be Patagonia and pieces of the Rockies. And you could take all of those places and put them in this national park.
Mountain guide Christian Santelises.
Incredible place. You've got to keep your wits about you all the time.
Big mountain teleskier Sarah Clemenson.
There's just something different about this place, this energy that exists here. It's very captivating. I mean, there's something intriguing about these mountains that just blows my mind. The mountains here are alive.
No helicopters can land in the national park, so the only access is on foot or a turbine-powered Super Otter.
Hey, Paul, think you guys got a line through the ice? You think you need to come back and get us out?
We should have a spot. We can put down there any time now.
The owner and chief pilot of Ultuma Thule Outfitters is Paul Klaus.
The Wrangell St. Elias National Park is, combined with the Killiney National Park in Canada, is over 26 million acres, and it's the largest park lands in the world.
Ultuma Thule means land remote, beyond reckoning.
Now, my dad first came here in the early 60s as a hunting guide and got some land through the Homesteading Act. My earliest memories were falling in love with it. It's just one of the most magnificent areas of God's creation that I can imagine being in. It's just spectacular everywhere you look. I tell everybody my kids are the most privileged kids in the world. That people often think that kids living out here, this remote, may have a socialization problem, but it seems that with all the different people we have coming and going, our kids don't have that problem at all.
Bagley Ice Field dumps into the Gulf of Alaska. 30 miles away, it's the largest ice field in the world. Okay, we've reached the end of the Earth. Everybody out.
Start out and you think it's going to be like 2 hours. Next thing you know, 4 hours and you're halfway up the thing. 6,000, 7,000 feet. It takes, you know, a day to knock off a run like that.
A place like this really requires that you use all of your skills. This is probably the most remote place I've ever been to.
Hey, Christian, how's that hike? You're thinking of all the dangers, and as you put on your skis to ski down, all of that floats away as you make your turns. That your mind is just going over and over through your head as you're skiing this. There's holes, there's ice, there's glaciers I need to dodge. It's pretty intimidating being up here.
No matter where you've skied or ridden a snowboard, Bagley Ice Field in the Wrangell-St. Elias National Park is guaranteed to have a maximum impact on you for the rest of your life.
I haven't seen a moose yet this trip. Kind of weird.
Skiing with the Chugach Powder Guides in Birdwood, Alaska.
Heli skiing again.
Yeah.
I mean,
Bluebird, Powder.
Another heli waiting for us.
Exactly.
The runs are so long, and just being able to link so many turns and scare yourself a little. It's just you, the rock, and the snow, and your friends, and the helicopter.
I go days without sleep, weeks it won't need. Walk on broke glass and coals with bare feet. Watch me perform feats beyond belief. Withstand the freezing cold and extreme heat. I may receive beatings but won't know defeat. Slow down my breathing and calm the heartbeat. I learn to endure and to ignore pain by shutting off nerves and inform the brain. Sustained by the air, sunshine and rain. Refrain from necessities, all that remains. I hold my breath in 4 minutes and 40 seconds. Old yogis, they come to me for lessons, and when they exit, they ask for my blessings. Like Christians begging forgiveness and confession, hearing my songs like getting your palms pressed, telling you
thoughts going on in your mom's head. Killing vets with a sword to Vietnam said. Reuniting them with friends who have been long dead. No one word for word but a letter you read sent from my ex-lover who double crossed and then you saw red. No need to roam into the unknown. Got the whole world outside my window. Gotta know the belly and tough in the bones. He can do it all who finds a true home. No need to roam into the unknown. Got the whole world outside my window. Gotta build the belly and jump in the bones. He can do us all to find a true home.
Now that we're so warmed up with this whole routine of helicopters and sunshine and soft snow,
keep it rolling. So where are you going next, Warren?
Yeah, where do you want us? Where's our next assignment? We're ready.
Sorry, angels, we're over budget.
I've been chasing people down mountains like these for the last 55 years. And now you've seen almost all of Impact all the way through, except what you haven't seen and heard yet. I'm Warren Miller, and I hope to see you next year, same time, same place. Thank you, and good night.
An offer to shave my head for a substantial amount of money, well, substantial for a ski bum like myself. So I've never shicked my head before. I think the girl isn't gonna like it, and not really my style, but you know, when times are tight like this and you want to keep the dream alive, keep skiing every day, you gotta get down in the gutter sometimes and just go where you normally wouldn't go. So sucks.
Things are getting busy. I'm on the shortest rope that's been ran in a tournament. All six balls have been run right here. The rope's 34 feet long. The buoy's 37 and a half feet out. Three people in the world have done this successfully. Andy Mapple's one of them. Jim, you can come up now. He's one of the others.
That's cool. Jamie, you can come up. That's really good.
We communicate by semaphore. No language, we've got flags of our own. The road leads where it led, and all the darlings cover earth with bare hands.
My mind was perma snowboarding, and before it was snowboarding, it was perma skiing. Before that, it was perma pretending I hate girls. And after everything, it's perma still pretending I hate girls, but I can't pretend anymore because I love girls. And, you know, you start at the beginning of the season and you're just like, a 30-foot cliff scares you. And then by the end of the season, an 80-foot cliff, you don't even blink a, you know, you don't even bat an eye at. But I've been trying to master the time in between and how to control it mentally. Control the time in between and pretend like there was never any time in between. So when you roll up to a line now, you think of the last 80-foot cliff you did and you pretend like you just did it 2 seconds ago, and then you just drop right in on that thing. And that's kind of my little secret to all of you. I'll keep that on the lowdown because that's what I do. Can't do it.